Hello world, my name is Don and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, July 24, 2022. Stop the presses, this is our Sunday show and that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with me live, feel free to drop a line in the live chat and I might read it off on the air. So let's go ahead and get started with the first item on the agenda right off the bat. This is from UPI, first published a couple days ago, July 24. Emu captured after more than a week on the loose in West Virginia. Okay. Oof. Now there's a face only an insurance agent would love, depending on those of you who are into, what is it? I'm trying to remember which of those insurance companies had the emu in their commercials. Darn it, I should know this. All the TV that I watch, dagnabbit. Ugh, it'll come to me by the end of the show, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, or fine, if you want to go ahead and throw in a comment at the bottom of the screen, feel free. But anyway, so this is posted July 22nd. An emu that had been on the loose for over a week in West Virginia was captured after wandering into a resident's yard. Liberty Mutual, that's the name of the... That's the name of the insurance company that uses emus in their commercials. It took me a moment, but I got it earlier than expected. Okay, residents of Williamstown and Parkersburg reported seeing the emu wandering through their neighborhoods in recent days, and sightings reported on social media indicate the large flightless bird had been wandering the area for over a week. Christy Brom said her husband was doing warn on their Parkersburg house Wednesday evening. I don't know what warn is, W-O-R-N. Somebody want to comment on that? I don't know. When he found the emu inside the home's backyard fence, the Brahms called 911 and personnel from the Wood County Sheriff's Office arrived on the scene to capture the bird. Brahm told WTAP-TV, quote, "It took a little while, about 15 to 20 minutes to corral him to where they can touch him and get him down. My husband helped them and then they kind of like hogtied him so he didn't use his legs," end quote. Yeah, this is one of those nightmare fuel kind of things where you ever have one of those like dreams where like you something happens that's totally unexpected and is utterly uncharacteristic either for you or for your like regular lot in life or whatever, and it's so crazy, it's to the point where you know it's a dream but you sort or it's a nightmare but you sort of like let it play out just for the raw like morbid curiosity of what would happen next, what would your subconscious mind let happen next. You know, that strikes me as like what this sort of thing is, to have one of these creatures like wandering around on your property, basically just out of nowhere. You know, what is this thing going to do, you know, to, you know, your house, to your car, to, you know what I mean? You know, you can't mess with it. This is wildlife, you know, but it's like, good grief. That's crazy. Hang on a second. The emu, which was dubbed Kevin, is very tame and not aggressive, indicating it was once kept as a pet. He said the bird may have been on the loose for longer than sightings would indicate. That pronoun he is a reference to Earl Korsrobe, the owner of Alpaca Run Farms, which is where the authorities were placing the emu in their care to try to find the animal's owner in the meantime. Yeah, this is one of those stories that's a little bit. Oh yeah, Staff ZX. I'm just now noticing the comment there. Liberty Mutual. There you go. Thank you for that. thank you for that little piece of extra context there. I thought of it. I thought of it before I had even had a chance to look over to the comments feed there. So there you go. Anyway, all right. So that's that one comment. That one subject. All of the subject material once again tonight is listed in the description down below as per usual. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in and joining me live tonight on YouTube for Weird News here on YouTube. And then also we're simulcasting on Instagram as at Weekend Showcase. So feel free to join and comment in either place. And once again, if you do drop a line, I might read it off on the air like I just did a little bit after the fact with staff, but I'll try to keep an eye out on either direction here. I need to get an audio sort of indicator for that, working on that. But anyway, all right, let's move on. Next item is from Ripley's. This was published 2 days ago, July 22nd. Colorado man uses nose to push peanut 12.6 miles up Pikes Peak. Okay. We're going to file this under why. I think we're just going to file this under why. Like, this is one of those things that you do when you lose a bet that you have absolutely no way to pay off, but you accidentally discover you're so good at it, you just sort of let it go to see how far you can push yourself in doing whatever it was that you were sort of forced to do. And then next thing you know, you wind up in the Guinness Book of Records. I think that's basically what this is. Let me see. A 53-year-old... The story actually says, we recommend playing Running Up That Hill for dramatic effect while reading the story. I guess that's that song from the 80s that was popularized by Stranger Things recently. We do not have the rights for that song here on YouTube, unfortunately, but you know what they're saying here. A 53-year-old Colorado man completed the trek up a 14,115-foot mountain last Friday after spending 7 days pushing a peanut up the summit using his nose. Bob Salem of Colorado Springs went through 24 peanuts on his 12.6-mile hike to the top of Pikes Peak, aided only by a homemade contraption, in quotes, made out of a spoon taped to a CPAP sleep machine. What? While he initially planned to have someone come with him to carry his gear, he ended up going it alone, carrying 40 pounds of stuff to his stopping points before turning around and pushing the peanut up as he crawled up the mountain. As his endeavor became a bit of a spectacle, Salem chose to push mainly at night to prevent being stopped for photos. Again, I go to why. Like, my peripheral vision can see, like, what's going ahead. I'll read off it in the next paragraph in a moment. But, like, oh, brother. It never ceases to amaze me, the kind of stuff that the Ripley's people will find. You know, not necessarily for the sake of publicizing a world record, because for those who don't know, the Guinness World Records organization is owned by Ripley's. So like there, it's one of those parent company sort of things, like how Disney owns Marvel Studios. It's like Ripley's owns Guinness World Records. So it's like natural that that kind of go together like that. But yeah, it just baffles me that this is even a thing. This is one of those things that really kind of like baffles. Salem put his nose to the ground to accomplish the feat in celebration of Manitou, M-A-N-I-T-O-U. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. So one of these days, these kinds of stories needs to put like phonetics on there. Just for those of us who are making YouTube content, so we don't like accidentally pronounce something wrong, you know, let's try and make it a little bit easier for people who are trying to promote your thing too. But anyway, to accomplish the feat in celebration of Manitou Springs' 150th birthday, Salem is only the fourth person to complete the peanut push and the first of the 21st century, having broken a world record set by Ulysses Baxter in 1963 by a full day. Huh. Okay. And this is a tweet, it looks like. We're pushing pee with Bob Salem. He's crawling 13 miles on his hands and knees to the top of Pike's Peak, flicking a peanut with his nose. Yeah, just when you take that sentence by itself, it's like, why on earth would you even pretend to do that? I mean, yeah, you have an anniversary commemoration. You want to go ahead and stand out. You want to do something that's difficult to duplicate. Yeah, sure, but I can't see myself doing that. But all right, I guess more power to him if you found a way to do that. Let's go ahead and keep moving on. We're going to go ahead and power through these. There's this next one, and then 7 more topics to go through for the course of the hour. Thanks so much for joining me tonight on Weird News. Let's go ahead and move on. Next item is from UPI. Texas man's Sonic the Hedgehog collection, earns Guinness World Record. This is published 2 days ago. And speaking of Guinness World Records, that is a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog memorabilia. I'm going to try to like expand this a little bit more. I can't even make out. The quality of the image is a little bit grainy here, but it's. I can tell there's a whole heck of a lot here from over the course of the last 30 years that this IP has been in existence. And there's a certificate right there in the center of the screen. Now, come on, why you got it? I'm being a purist here. I know I'm just getting a little bit out of hand with this, but like, come on, you got all this Pac-Man stuff down to the front, or excuse me, at the very bottom of the frame here of the picture. Like, really? You have all this Sonic. You have the guy in front and center with the Guinness Record certificate commemorating all of that, all this insane and remarkable collection. And then you have the cherry on top is a bunch of Pac-Man stuff at the very bottom of the frame. What's with that? Come on, we could have, whoever took this photograph, come on. Why you gotta do that? Why you gotta like, I don't even know what's an appropriate thing to like compare this to, quite frankly. It's like the fly in the ointment, I guess. The fly in the ointment, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But, and we have a reaction to the last record, Brain Spaz saying, wow, he really wanted to set that record, the peanut guy. Yeah, definitely. But anyway, back to this. So let's see. A Texas man who has been collecting Sonic the Hedgehog memorabilia for 30 years earned a Guinness World Record when his cachet of items was officially tallied at 3,050, Barry Evans of Dayton said he bought a copy of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for Sega Genesis in 1992, his first ever video game purchase, and he's been hooked on the character ever since. Hello, Kiera.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good, thanks. I didn't notice we had somebody on our Instagram pop in. Had to do a quick hello there. Thanks for joining us tonight, Kiera. We're doing weird news. We were just talking about this crazy world record that was set by some guy in Texas with a Sonic the Hedgehog collection that's well over 3,000 items deep. Thoughts?
Why are you a grown man doing this?
Guess he's a fan, it would seem.
That is a lot of money.
And earlier, right before you joined, I was pointing out how in this photograph, there's a, at the very bottom of the frame, there's a bunch of Pac-Man stuff at the very bottom here. And StaffZX on YouTube points out, well, Sonic and Pac-Man were together in Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. So, okay, I guess there's some consistency there, I guess, sure, if you want to go ahead and be, you know, thorough about it. Fair enough. I'll grant you that. I don't know. It just struck me a little off guard. Let's see. So Evans told Guinness World Records, quote, Sonic the Hedgehog has been my passion for 30 years, end quote. Yeah, I bet. Evans said the game was the first item in his collection, and the second was a Sonic-themed bubblegum container in 1993. Evans said some of the most treasured items in his collection are giant statues of Sonic and Tails that were decorations at a Toys R Us store for years. Ooh, rest in peace, Toys R Us. Well, actually, that's not entirely true. I can't say that anymore, really, because there's another piece of news indirectly connected to this, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Kiera, what's your what do you collect? Do you collect anything?
Sneakers.
Sneakers? How long have you been collecting sneakers?
I would say probably ever since I was young. I've always had a bunch of sneakers, but I didn't start collecting until like around the pandemic, like 2020.
Fairly recent. Okay. How big is the collection? Should we sort of like get ready to contact the Guinness people, or?
I'm not there yet. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time.
I hear you. Well, it's only been a couple of years. Give yourself time. See how you feel after, you know, maybe 30 years. And no, I'm kidding. No, but I don't know. I mean, good luck with your collection as well, I guess. Do you have any special ones in particular that are an honorable mention? Like, what are you most proud of?
Probably like the Jordan 1 University Blues. And I'm about to get a pair of 550s.
550s? So, okay.
New Balances of 550s.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I was going to ask, are those?
I want a pair of white. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, are those the Jordan 550s? I'm not a shoe guy at all.
New Balance 550s, they've been around forever, but they're like the new thing in the fashion world.
Okay.
And I want a pair of white Air Force Ones, but I'm not paying that price for Air Force Ones. So.
How much do they usually go for?
Air Force Ones used to be $60. Now they're $100.
Ooh, markup. Is that before inflation started to set in?
No, that was just because everybody hopped on to this weird wave of wearing Air Force Ones.
Supply and demand. I hear you. We have comments from, this is StaffZX again. There's so much he's missing. No Archie Sonic comics or any Sonic bubblegum from the 90s that came in a Game Gear-shaped container. The story actually mentioned that he had some stuff. He had some Sonic bubblegum from the 90s. It didn't mention the container necessarily, but that might be something to have to come back to. You may need to reread the story, Staff, and dig a little bit deeper, I think. We have to move on, unfortunately. But this item and all the other items that we're discussing tonight are all sourced in the description down below in the description. But let's move on. This is the next item is from UPI. This was published 4 days ago. Stinky bloom approaching for Ohio Zoo's corpse flower. Corpse flower, this sounds familiar. Have you ever heard of something like this, Kiera?
A corpse flower? No.
Yeah. Let's see. This is a lot of empty space that's normally reserved for like a video that didn't really load right in the browser, but all right, I guess I gotta read this off. The Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden is inviting guests with adventurous senses of smell to visit one of its most unusual residents, a corpse flower that is about to bloom. The zoo said in a Facebook post that the corpse flower, known scientifically as Amorpho, oh God, hang on a second, everybody, I have to pronounce this right. a Morpholphallus titanum, that looks about right, is showing signs that it will soon bloom and begin to emit the scent that earned it the name. Woo. Yeah, say no more, it's smell no more. let's see. Cincinnati Zoo horticulturist Jerome Stenger told WXIX-TV, quote, "We've all heard how bad the smell is, but it's just one of those things that you want to experience in order to describe it in your own words. And the fact that the occurrence is so rare, sometimes just blooming once in a decade, makes everyone want to see it," end quote. The zoo said the bloom is expected to last for 24 to 36 hours. So, Kiara, how are you with flowers?
I'm cool with flowers. I like flowers. I respect flowers.
Would you be interested in seeing something like this at a zoo?
A corpse flower? Not really. I mean, because it's just like, it stinks. That's what you're saying.
Basically.
Nature is pretty weird, though. Why does it smell like a corpse? That's a real question.
I guess that's the best way that they could think of to describe the actual smell. Let's see. There's some more to this story, very slightly. Hang on a second. That's funny. The plant was dubbed Morticia in a vote by the zoo's social media followers. For those who don't know, Morticia is the name of the mom from the Addams Family. So yeah, there you go. The odor, color, and Stenger says, quote, "The odor, color, and temperature, which can rise to 98 degrees of the flower, are meant to attract pollinators that are attracted to dead animals. Since the Discovery Forest greenhouse isn't crawling with dung beetles and flesh flies," it says flesh flies. I think maybe fresh flies. I don't know.
No, flesh flies.
That's really a real thing?
Real thing.
I thought that was a typo. You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. Dung beetles and flesh flies. We are trying to get our hands on some pollen so we can help Morticia pollinate. Yeah. on second thought, I'm now realizing, like, wait a minute. Yeah, there's no such thing as a fresh fly, really. Like, you know, like flies are kind of like, they're alive too long. They're past the expiration date. They themselves would smell like corpse flowers if they're just left out of the open too long. So yeah, you have to use a Ziploc baggie, keep your flies nice and fresh. You know, I don't know. That's just where my mind went, whatever. Anyway, last words on this topic here, and then we got to move on.
Shout out to nature. They're always, I don't know. Nature is weird, but I like it.
Okay, definitely a shout out to nature there from Kiara. Let's move on. We don't have any new comments on this particular topic. I guess let's go ahead and move on. Ms. D on there, Pac-Man Forever. Oh, here's a new one from Brain Spaz. "That would be a good flower to use to solidify a breakup." Oh my goodness. that's a good one.
That's disrespectful.
But it's a breakup though. I mean, doesn't that sort of make sense to, like, you know what? I don't want any part of you in my life ever again. You know what you did. And, you know, mic drop, Seacrest out, corpse flower. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. That's disrespectful.
I mean, when it gets to that point, I'm pretty sure respect is no longer, like, as major a thing in there.
It depends on the breakup.
That's what I'm saying. If you've been cheated on, if you've been, like, cheated on in, like, a marriage or a committed relationship or something, you know what I mean? It's like...
A corpse flower? Sure, I guess.
Yeah, like, it would depend on the nature.
That's a lot.
I agree, but, you know, then I've never been married, so I don't know. But anyway, let's move on. This is the next item is from UPI. Woman uses teacher voice to chase bear away from North Carolina deck. This was posted 5 days ago, July 19th. A woman who found a bear climbing on the back deck of her North Carolina vacation home used her teacher voice to chase the animal away. Debbie Tomlinson, who used to be a teacher in Greenville County, South Carolina, said she was at her Sapphire, North Carolina condominium when her husband alerted her to a bear climbing on the back deck. Tomlinson's video of the encounter, which she posted to YouTube, shows her talking to the bear through a window and telling it to leave. Well, I guess let's take a look. There's no video here. There's no audio here. Hang on 1 second. Darn it. Come on. Oh, wait a minute. Hello? Can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what's happening with my camera right now. Hold on. Y'all just lost my picture. Hang on 1 second. I'm just now noticing that. Come on. Give me mouse control, please, and thank you. Sorry, everyone. We have some minor technical difficulties. There we go. I don't know how long that's been out, but all right. Let's see. Did that just go off, Kira?
Yeah.
Okay, that was weird. Sorry about that, everybody. All right, let's take a look at this. Look at that. I don't hear anything.
Get down from there.
There we go.
Get down from there, right now. Go. You get down from my porch right now. Go. What do you think you're doing on my porch? You get down. Go.
Wow.
How dare you?
Wow.
Go.
So that's one of those, like, but I was just looking for some honey, and that, oh, all right, fine. God, geez, fine, whatever, I'll leave, fine.
I see you.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, when you've been busted and like you sort of like, you know, when you're a little kid, you get busted with something, like with your hand in the cookie jar or the honey pot, as it were, you know, and it's like you try to sort of like back down from it as best as you can to sort of save face. But you know, deep down that you haven't, like you can't save face from that. You've been totally caught. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what that is, I think. Any additional thoughts on this one, Kier?
She got a lot of audacity.
Audacity? How so? It's her house.
I'm just saying, man, you can't be talking, you can't always, that's a risk. That could have ended way worse.
Well.
But, you know, shout out to her putting her foot down. I'm telling you, listen, nature is going to do what it's going to do. Y'all cannot think we can just talk to a bear like that and it won't bug out. If that bear attacked her, a teacher voice ain't going to save you, girl.
Well, luckily that doesn't look like a very large bear. I mean, using
that
bears in the foreground as a size comparison. No, I know, you're right. I'm saying, but it could easily have been a lot worse, is what I'm saying.
But you know, shout out to her. She put her foot down. So
like I agree with you though. Like it really, yeah. So we have a Stav ZX here. John's actually a ghost confirmed. Ha 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 ha. No, this is obviously a reference to. But my camera was totally messing up there in the beginning of this piece, but whatever. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Next item on the docket here. Let's see. Okay, I have a lot of stuff from UPI tonight. I think we have one more from UPI and then we'll see where the other three sources are. So this is from 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Sprinters nearly run over cameraman at World Athletics Championships. Okay, this is during an event at the World Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon. The near collision occurred during the men's 3,000 meter steeplechase last Monday at Hayward Field on the University of Oregon campus. The runners, who are tasked with avoiding obstacles during the event, rounded a turn and were on a straight stretch of the track when the cameraman stood in lane two with his back to the field. I don't see a video attached to this. Presumably they would have put that on the actual page somewhere. The link's in the description if you want to see the clip for yourself later, but the 15-man pack was then forced to split as it reached the cameraman, who appeared to have no idea the runners were behind him. Luckily, and finished the race. That's a typo. that's a typo right there. Luckily, him. But anyway, so the cameraman was on the track so we could get a better angle of the women's triple jump final, which was held nearby. So there you go. Close call, I guess. Wish we had some footage to be able to react to a little bit more accurately. But based on this premise, Kara, how active do you ever do any sprinting? What like sports activity do you ever do? Like, what does this remind you of?
I did track and field. The Hayward Field, the World Athletics are like the holy grail for track and field, specifically for long distance runners. The 3,000 meter steeplechases. Not for the week. I will say he should have been more careful because that's a very meticulous, tedious race, depending on the lap that they're at. And when you run at a pace like that, you will run over any and everybody to make sure that you keep up with your pace. But I also understand that you're trying to film other things. It's a very active event. You know, I've never been. I've had friends who have gone to Ellis because obviously where NSU is located, it wouldn't even
NSU, Norfolk State University, your alma mater and mine.
Yeah, it wouldn't be in the same conference, our area or region, because that's across the country. But it's a very active event. It's a lot of camera people, a lot of interviewers, a lot of coaches and scouts and stuff like that.
You know, it's crazy. This actually reminds me of this viral video clip where this guy is doing, what is it? This is at a baseball field. And one of the players is doing a sideline interview with like a sports reporter, right? And in the background, you see like there's the team is still practicing, you know, swinging the bat and whatever and that sort of thing with practice pitches. And the background is still, they're still practicing. A swing happens. The ball knocks away from the diamond towards the interview. The guy being interviewed turns around, grabs the ball. Did you see that clip?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And it's like, he throws it back and like, ah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it hurts your hand to see that.
I mean, but that's really what happens at athletic.
I thought that was CGI, honestly, at first. Like,
no.
A bit, but.
That happens a lot at athletic conferences because you have five events going on at the same time. And nobody really cares about distance like that, especially at 3,000 steeple, because it takes time.
Mm.
But, you know, it's real active. It's really fun though. It's very intense.
Fair enough.
But you know, cameraman, yeah. I've seen races where people have ruined them. And if you ruin a race, whew, golly, you might as well just disappear. Because that's, you know, that's it. It's over.
You think you'd ever get back into that?
What, track and field? Yeah. If I had the opportunity, sure. I mean, you know, I still love the sport. I still watch it. It's a very underrated slept sport. It doesn't get a lot of coverage during the Olympics.
Hmm.
And it's one of my favorite sports. It's a sport that should be well respected. It's a very unique craft.
Hmm.
But, you know, yeah.
Cool.
Shout out to the people who did the steeplechase, though, you know.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag steeplechase. Got any steeplechase fans in the audience tonight? Feel free to make yourselves known in the comments section. We'll give a shout out. Let's move on. Next item on the docket here is back over to Ripley's. Next topic is the universe's heartbeat detected light years away. The universe has a heart? That sounds like a bad, like a cheesy love song from the 80s. The universe has a heart?
Right? I guess.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like every time something is, every time something that ordinarily you would never associate with human physiology has a heart, it's always sort of like executed in a way that's an elaborate metaphor for forbidden love or a sense of longing or something. And it's always portrayed in musical form.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
That's what this sort of looks like to me, I think. But anyway, so this is, oh, ha! That's, I guess, pretty clear then where they got the idea of a heartbeat from. It's not actual, like, it's not necessarily a pulse through the universe. That's just what it looks like. That just looks like a heart, pure and simple.
It's cute.
So there you go. Astronomers in North America have detected a persistent and inexplicable radio signal. I guess they detected a signal too. Emitted from a galaxy many light years away. Again, I just want to stress these are reactions. I have not pre-screened any of these news topics that we were sent for this show. So yeah, there you go. I guess it's visual and pulse-wise, excuse me, the existence of a heartbeat. But anyway, so unlike other fast radio bursts, FRBs, which exude robust radio wave bursts for little more than a few milliseconds, the new fast radio burst lasts roughly 1,000 times longer. Moreover, the astronomers who have listened to the phenomenon report that the radio wave bursts follow a clear periodic pattern of repeating every 0.2 seconds. In essence, it sounds an awful lot like the galaxy's heartbeat. Okay, so that's the scientific perspective on it. Kiara, do you believe the universe has a heartbeat?
I'm gonna say no, but I could be wrong. You know, everything has life. Energy is, was it matter can't be created nor destroyed. So It could possibly. I don't see the universe having a heartbeat because the universe is so big. I don't understand. I don't know. No.
Well, we're so big as compared to an ant, and we have a heartbeat. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we live on a floating rock. So what do I know?
Start over. I'm sorry.
We live on a floating rock. So what do I know? Well, the universe could have a heartbeat, for all I know. Why does the universe need a heartbeat? I don't know, because you're the universe. But the universe has a heart, sure.
Or at least what appears to be one. I don't know, if we're to judge this as a thing here, that's part of what they found. Let me see, I'm trying to find where the image source is. That there's no... There doesn't seem to be any information about the exact source of that image that looked like a cosmic heart. Let's see. FRBs represent a relatively new area of astronomical study. Astronomers scoped out the first recorded FRB in 2007. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Something about 500 million light years away. Yeah. Scientists hope future monitoring of FRB 2019-1221A will yield some of its secrets, including a better guesstimate of the heartbeat's source. So they still don't know exactly where it came from, but I guess it looks like a heart and sounds like a heart on the surface. So I guess, you know, any future astronomers hopefully will be able to find a little bit more information about that, I guess. What are you guys at home who are watching the show tonight? What do you guys think? Is this a real thing? Like, does the universe have a heartbeat in and of itself? Like, what do you think it sounds like? You know, is there anything you could like compare it to in text form that we can read it off here? Here's something. Staff ZX says, in some way or shape, everything's alive. We're all like bacteria living along larger life forms. So I think that basically speaks to sort of the relative significance of life on Earth, not just humans, but all life on Earth in the context of the grand tapestry of the cosmos. Like there's a bunch of existential directions we can go into here, but that most of them are kind of headache inducing. Am I right, Kiera?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should probably, I guess, move on here. But thanks for the comment there, Steph. Let's move on. Next item, this is from BuzzFeed. Lady Gaga is going viral after someone threw something at her on stage and it was blocked by an invisible shield.
Why are y'all attacking Lady Gaga? What is she doing?
Okay. Let's see. Returned to the stage this week for the Chromatica Ball. Da, 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 da. Do you listen to Gaga music?
I listened to Gaga when she first came out. That's where I'm at, and I somewhat listened to her new music. Her, what is it, the Chromatic album? I listened to a little bit of that. I like Lady Gaga though. I'm here and there with her music. I actually like her as more of a personality and as an actor than a singer. Mm-hmm. Really good at design. But I like her music. I bangs with the Gaga.
Are you seeing this? I have the clip playing.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? That's like somebody using like some sort of psychic projection force field or something to be able to do that. You can't even tell that there's anything else there.
Like a plastic bag or something, and it just stopped.
What was that?
Maybe it was like a plastic bag or something. Or a shirt. Plastic
that looked like it hit a wall. That looked like a book, like somebody literally throwing a book at her. Like yeah, usually people would say that like a euphemism, but no, this is like literally throwing a book at someone and then it just hits a wall.
Maybe she has superpowers.
I don't know. That's
you, Lady Gaga, man.
We have it on film. As we all know, if you didn't get it on camera, it didn't happen. So clearly that happened. I don't know what else to say. Let's see. There's a bunch of tweets here. There's not much in terms of a description here on this BuzzFeed piece, but there are some tweets here.
I renewed her contract.
With... Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's funny.
So yeah, she's an icon, renewed her contract with Illuminati. That yeah.
Is hilarious.
That's from Twitter user at the trickster love, L-U-V. Staff ZX says, that piece of garbage looked like CGI. At Lone Wolf Art 23 says, so scary and cool at the same time. At Marianne Beth 1, Queen of Invisible Force Fields. At 1, Sir Socrates, compelling evidence of our Sorcerer Supreme, if I'm being honest.
From when she was on American Horror Story.
Oh, really? You're talking about the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually missed out on that season, but I heard it was really, really good. Didn't she get an Emmy for that?
She did. She's a really great performer.
Yeah. One fan says not to worry, since it's a common thing for monsters, that's her fan base, monsters, to throw gifts on stage. No, they're usually fan gifts, LOL. This is from 2014. Oh, really? We have more footage? So that explains what the gift is, but that doesn't explain how it was repelled, though. That's the problem.
Superpowers, baby.
Here's another clip. This is a 40-second clip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, people are throwing what look like papers. Oh, that looks like maybe a toy, a couple of toys or stuffed dolls or something, maybe.
Just things, posters. I'm pretty sure somebody threw
a balloon. Okay.
That's hilarious.
That's crazy. Anyway, all right. Whoops. Darn it. Come on. Anyway, all right. So that's I guess, a little weird. I wouldn't really put that at the top tier of the kind of weird news items that we've been seeing tonight so far, but I guess that's sort of interesting, especially if you're into Gaga music. There you go. We have two more to go, and we're coming up on 20 minutes left in the hour. Let's go ahead and keep going. The centuries-old Italian chapel built into a sheer cliffside. Okay. Man. Good luck if you're afraid of heights, because yeah, this is, I don't even know, I can't even think of how did somebody build that? They're saying this is real, but it's like, how do you, okay, there's Mount Rushmore, right? And then there's this. How do you build straight up architecture into a mountain?
It's kind of cool. Definitely not OSHA approved, but.
Definitely not, is right. Would you go to a place like this, Kira?
Sure. I'm pretty sure it's a really nice chapel too. And people are really nice and it has beautiful scenery. So yeah, we go.
Well,
it's in Italy, right?
Let's see. Nested in the cliffs, I'm reading the caption at the bottom here. Nestled in the cliffs of Italy's Monte Baldo mountain range is an impossibly situated holy site, the Santuario Madonna della Corona, which translates to Sanctuary of the Lady of the Crown. Despite its blatant gravitational defiance, perched on the side of a rugged cliff, the chapel boasts centuries of history as a pilgrimage spot characterized by steep hikes, panoramic views, and meditative reflection. And it continues to attract those who pursue revelation and don't fear heights. Emphasis on don't fear heights. So yeah, I guess, you got your passport, Kiara? Would you visit someplace like this?
Sure. I feel like it's a really nice place. I like that it's hidden in the cut. So, you know, I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't think, I'll be honest, I'm not into heights. I can't even ride roller coasters. I would not visit a place like this. Nothing personal. It's just, this is a little above my pay grade. I don't want to I don't like the idea of, you know, architecture like this, being into something like this physically, where it's like you've got such high elevation, and that's not even the top. That's the worst part of it. You're always kind of like worried about, you know, depending on what climate change does, what is happening above you and has a chance at coming down on you. You see what I'm saying? Like that's the other side of the concern here.
I guess. I feel like it's pretty sturdy. You know.
Well, we're not talking about it. We're talking about the rest of the mountain above that, though.
I feel like the rest of the mountain is pretty sturdy.
I would think so. I would hope so, but I'm not willing to chance my life on it. So, but more power to them. And I guess all of these people, you know, in the photograph, I guess, and all of, obviously, the, you know, the regular visitors of this particular chapel, which is the, what is it? I'm sorry. Sanctuary of the Lady of the Crown. I guess I should try to pronounce this again. The Santuario Madonna della Corona. Sadly, that's my That's my best Italian accent right now. Sorry. But anyway, so that's weird. That's weird, but it's an interesting weird. Just not the kind of interesting that I'd want to see firsthand. Just heights thing for me personally. But anyway, all right, cool. So that's that. That's it for that particular topic. Let's move on to our last item on the docket here. Let's see. Oh, Brain Spaz says on YouTube, it's been there for centuries. I guess they don't have earthquakes there. Yeah, reinforcing my point about you don't know what's happening above you to risk falling down on you, but. I guess if you're that stable, then you don't have to worry about it. So there you go. But anyway, let's move on. Next item on the docket, Italian. This is our last one for the night. This is, again, from UPI, posted 2 days ago. Italians break world record for changing a tire on a moving car. Okay. So I don't want to... The last time we played one of these Guinness clips within our show here, we got a content ID thing from YouTube, so I can't play this clip, but... a pair of Italian men broke an unusual Guinness World Record by changing a tire on a vehicle while it was in motion. Guinness World Records announced driver Manuel Zoldan and tire changer Gianluca Folco captured the record for fastest time to change a wheel on a car while driving when they achieved the feat in 1 minute and 17 seconds on the set of Italy's Lo Show di Record. I guess that's their equivalent of what used to be Guinness World Records prime time here in America back in the early 2000s. I don't know if you ever saw that show, Kiera.
No, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, that was a thing. It didn't last very long. I think the Fox Network had it. Anyway, the video of the attempt shows Zoldan drive the car, a BMW 3 Series, onto a ramp that flipped the vehicle on two wheels, allowing Folco to hang out of the car and quickly change the tire while the vehicle continued to move. Guinness said the duo beat the previous record of 1 minute and 30 seconds. Wow. There are so many ways that could have gone horribly, horribly wrong. My mind is struggling to sort of make sense of what's involved in doing this. You know what I mean? Mainly from the standpoint of, if I'm being honest, mainly from the standpoint of the driver, because everything is in the driver's hands right now. Like, you have to maintain perfect balance for an extended period of time, factoring in your own weight, the car's weight, and the unintended weight imbalance involved with the passenger who has to do all of this tire changing, right? Like, there's weight of the tire getting moved around. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think it's pretty cool. I do my own stunts. That's what he said. I think it's pretty cool.
The I do my own stunts thing, that's what that is? This is just like, just straight up?
You do your own stunts. If you do this, you do your own stunts, man. That's. I will say, that's crazy. I like it. That's cool. Risky. Yeah.
I wish I could show this on this channel, but the main video is embedded in the actual news story from UPI, which, like all of our topics, once again, is listed at the bottom of the description down below at the bottom of the video. If you want to go ahead and see this for yourself, unfortunately, we can't play this video in this show, but there you go. If you're curious to see it in action. So that's basically it. That is a wrap for this week's headlines. Kiera, what was your favorite tonight?
The one we just read.
Let me see. Let me recap what we just did. The world's fastest tire changing on a moving car. The Italian chapel built into a cliffside. The Lady Gaga blocks an object in the visible force field. The universe has a heartbeat. Sprinters nearly run over a cameraman. Woman wards off bear with teacher voice. The corpse flower. The Sonic the Hedgehog collection. Pushing the peanut up a hill, and the emu thing. Those last two you weren't here for yet, but out of that first bunch, what was were you really going to stick with the hanging out the side of a car?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta say. Let's see. I'm trying to think what mine honestly would be. Honestly, probably, I think I'll probably use the heartbeat, the universe's heartbeat one. I'm going to say it was my favorite one of the night, just because it's one of those things that you don't really, it's one of those facets of life that you don't really think about very much until, like, you're surfing around on television, and you find a rerun of that Neil deGrasse Tyson show, Cosmos. You know what I'm saying? you don't really think about it that much, but it gets you thinking about the universe and your place in it and just how little we really understand. So I find that cool.
Yeah.
But Anyway, that's basically about it for us. What was your favorite? Those of you at home watching, drop a comment down below to continue the conversation. Feel free to visit any of our social pages. We're at Weekend Showcase everywhere. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Kiara, for participating. And actually, Kiara, you have a video actually that just dropped on the channel yesterday. You want to tell people about it?
So The Toxic King is back, guys. And I did a review on Wasteland. You should watch it.
The Toxic King? What?
Yeah. So Brent Faiyaz is the Toxic King, at least on the internet. It's either him or Future. I choose Brent over Future. This is his sophomore album, which is crazy. But it's really good. Give it a listen. It's definitely a journey. You will be a different person after you listen to the album. I was a different person after I listened to the album. And check it out. I said things, I said opinions. And listen to the album. Listen, it's good music.
And then come back to this channel to hear Kiara's review, to see Kiara's review on that album after the fact, right?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Thanks so much for that, Kiara. Check it out, those of you at home, after we wrap this thing up, if you have a chance. And we will see you right here once again this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, for another brand new trailer reaction show. We hope to see you then. We have a lot of crazy stuff that came out from San Diego Comic-Con last weekend. I wish we could have included any of that in weird news tonight, but we're going to have that. We had a trailer recommended to us, actually, during last Friday's show. We're still sort of investigating that. We may be able to add that into the rotation on Friday as well. So this Friday is going to be a jam-packed show. Really hope to see you then. For now, everybody be safe. Hope you had a great weekend. My name's Don. With me tonight was...
Kiara.
Awesome. Thanks, Kiara. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.
Good night.